We're doing brachot. We're up to chaf am dalef, the two dots, four lines from the top. Amar Rav Papa l'Abaye. Rav Papa, who was the Talmid Muvak of Ravas, he said to Abaye, "Ma'ishna rishonim ditrachish le'nisa, ma'ishna nan de'lo mitrachish le'nisan." What's the difference? The earlier generations, they had miracles happening for them, and we don't have miracles happening for us. If it's about learning, Bishne de Rabbi Yehuda kulei tenuye ben zikin aver. Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Rav, first generation of Amoraim, his focus was in the order of Nezikin, Vanan Kamnin and Shita Sidri. We learn all six orders of Shas, so we cover more than them in that regard. And when Rav Yehuda would reach the Mishnah in Uktzin that says, if a woman is pickling vegetables in a in a kdera, how do you translate kdera? An earthenware pot. And others say it's talking about olives that were pickled with their stem, with that little chupchik that sticks out of them, the piece of like wood that connects it to the tree. Torim. So then those handles are pure. That's not considered a yad. That's not considered an extension of the fruit or vegetable. So when he'd reach Mishnayos like that, Amar, he would say, Avayot Rav Shmorka Chazina Hacha. He remembered Rav Yehuda was a disciple of Rav. He used to say the deep learning of Rav and Shmuel, where they argued, that's what I'm seeing over here. Oh boy, what a difficult Mishnah. And we have 13 versions on Uktzin, meaning between the Mishnah and the Brises and the different traditions on how you learn the Mishnah. We have 13 traditions that we've mastered in those Mishnayos. So we seem to cover more ground than they do. And Ve'ilu Rav Yehuda, but when Rav Yehuda would daven, Ke'avashalif chad mesaneh, if he'd take off one shoe in his davening, Ati mitra, then it would just start raining. And we afflict ourselves, we wail, and it seems like no one's listening to us. How come? So the earlier generations, they daven, they get what they ask for. We daven, we seem to learn more than them, and we daven like crazy, but we're not getting anywhere. Amalei, Sabai answered him, Kamai habu kamasri nafshei v'kdushat Hashem. The earlier generations, they dedicated their lives, they risked their lives for Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name. And the understanding is, but we don't. Meaning he doesn't finish the sentence, right? Just as what they did. Kiha, derav ida barahava havel chazela hi kutit, dehavet levisha kabalta b'shuka. Rav Ida barahava saw a kuti woman wearing a karbalta in the marketplace. What's a karbalta? So it's some kind of red garment, red like the rooster's crop. It's called crow, the rooster's crown. Sorry, that Jewish women would never wear a scarf like that, some kind of shawl like that. Saval debat Yisraeli. So he thought she was a Jewish girl who was trying to start a new trend to walk around in this immodest way that everyone who walked by was attracted to this red glaring scarf, and then. It was a breach in the modesty that Jewish women were accustomed to. Jewish women didn't usually wear such bright red stuff that made everyone turn their heads. Kam karamine. So he got up and tore it off her. Iglaimita de kutiti. Turned out that she was a kuti woman. She wasn't Jewish. She's not obligated to our tradition, to our modesty. Shemo ba'bam azuze. Now, he shamed her publicly. The courts evaluated that at 400 zuz. He had to pay her a ton of money, the equivalent of, 50,000 shekel today. Amale Mashmich. So he asked her, what's your name? Amale Matun. She said to her, my name is Patience, Matun. Amala Matun Matun. Obama Zuzi Shavia. Yeah, patience. It would have been worth 400 zuz had I verified what was going on here. Patience. Okay. So Matun could also mean like Matan, 200. When a person is Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, so then when he davens, Hashem listens. When a person learns all the Torah in the world, but when it comes to Kiddush Hashem, he's not Moser Nefesh, so then he can daven as much as he wants, and who knows if he'll get what he asked for. So that's what they say in the name of Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, that his father sat a whole year in jail, because he was willing to risk his life for Kiddush Hashem, for what he believed in, And that's why he became chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Shmuel Eliyahu only sat in jail for a month or two for what he did on behalf of Kiddush Hashem, so he only became chief rabbi of Tzfat. That's what they say in Rav Shmuel Eliyahu's name. I don't know if it's true. But big people did what was right for Kiddush Hashem, and even if there was a prize afterwards. Rav Gidl Av Ragil Dav Kazil V'yati V'sharei De Tvila. Rav Gidl would go and sit by the gates of the Tvila. Amal Huachi Tvilu V'achu Tvilu. And he'd give instructions to the women. This is how you go to mikveh. This is how you go to mikveh. Now we have to understand that the mikveh and the whole issue of family purity is something that's very interesting. There are areas of halacha like kashering a chicken that everyone does publicly, and everyone teaches their kids how to do. So everyone always knew how to kasher a chicken and how to keep a kosher kitchen because everyone did everything and everyone saw what everyone was doing. The area of family purity, every girl would learn from her mother, but it was an area that no one discussed publicly. So if a mother made a mistake or a kid didn't understand it right, so you run into problems. The whole issue of family purity was based on what people were learning from their mothers. No one's talking about it publicly. So today they start having all these public classes and chassan classes and kala classes, but it's a new thing. So Rav Gidl realized there's a problem. When a woman goes to mikvah, if she doesn't know how to do it right and to remove any form of chatzitza, then that could disqualify what she's doing. So Rav Gidl would volunteer to be the rabbi from the Badatz, who answers all their questions and explains to them, okay, if you have a temporary filling that's not good, you can't go to the mikveh with that. If you have an ear infection and the doctor says he can't get it wet, so you can only go to mikveh with a rubber covering it or something, so that's not good, you can't go to mikveh that day, you gotta wait till the ear infection passes. He'd pass in all their questions and tell them, this is how you toivel, this is how you toivel, this is what you could do, this is what you can't do. So the student said, Rabbi, you're going to a place where women are afterwards denuding themselves and going into the mikveh. Aren't you a little worried about what's going to happen to you, or your own yetzer hara, where your thoughts are going to wander? Said, I don't think of them as girls. To me, they're like white geese going. I don't even notice if I'm talking to a woman or a white goose. To me, I don't have to worry about a yetzer hara because there is nothing that's relevant to yetzer hara about talking to these women. So I once asked Rav, who taught girls, who I admired. I asked him, how does he teach girls? Isn't he worried about yetzer hara? So he said an interesting pshat in his gemara. He said, you have to notice in the gemara that Rav Gidl answered, kake chivre, white geese. He didn't say, she seems like a white goose to me. He said, they seem like white geese to me. He said, one of the keys to what Rav Gidl was answering is, I don't notice who I'm talking to as an individual. I'm talking to the masses. So it's not only one white goose, it's a bunch of white geese. So I'm answering a bunch of people asking me questions. I don't notice who I'm talking to. He told me that when he teaches classes, he'll never teach a class of girls if he could notice one of them among the crowd. If he notices one among the crowd, he'll ask to be excused from teaching that class and he won't teach it. And when he teaches girls, so 95% of the time, he doesn't notice one girl from another. He's talking to the group, he's talking to the crowd. Sometimes there's a girl that he feels as much as he's trying to talk to the crowd. His eyes keep wandering back. And then after that class, he'll ask to be excused from teaching that class. He'll say, look, I don't get along with it. They could have a better teacher. He'll find some kind of excuse, but he won't do it. He says, of course I'm human. Of course sometimes I can't look at them and just see them as a crowd. There's someone there that attracts my attention, and I say that, no, I can't. But he says, in that case, really, he won't teach the class. But when he teaches, it's because it's kakei chivrei, he said. You have to notice in the Gemara that it's a multiple. So long as you see them as a group, and you're not noticing one from the other, that's okay. And I think that's a very, very right pshat, what he said. Okay, to be continued.